Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now back in making his sixth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Pro Bowl quarterback Gus Frerotte. Let me remind you a little bit about Gus's background. He's from Kittanning, Pennsylvania, which is about 44 miles northeast of my hometown of Pittsburgh. In high school, he lettered in football, baseball, and basketball. Played his college ball out at Tulsa, where he remained sixth all-time in passing yards and ninth in touchdowns. His nearly 3,000 yards passing his senior season were the most by a Tulsa quarterback in nearly three decades. He was a seventh-round draft pick in 1994 by the Washington Redskins. Played in the NFL from 94 to 2008. For the Redskins, Lions, Broncos, Bengals, Vikings, Dolphins, and Rams. And over the course of his NFL career, he threw for just over 21,000 yards and 114 touchdowns. He was named to the Pro Bowl in 1996 when he threw for nearly 3,500 yards under Dorv Turner and led the Redskins to their first winning season in the post-Joe Gibbs era. Earlier this year, he was inducted into the Allegheny-Kiskey Valley Sports Hall of Fame, and we are honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Good evening, Gus, Chris, and Bob. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Gus.
Hi, guys. How are you doing tonight? I can't believe it's been 6 times.
I know. It's fantastic. So, Gus, I want to start our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on what's going on there with the Redskins. You know, quarterback situation seems to be the focus right now. Obviously, you know, the terrible injury that Alex Smith had, it looks like he's probably not going to make it back this next season. Colt McCoy probably doesn't look like he's a long-term starter. We're hearing rumors now that it looks like Case Keenum is going to come over from Denver, but he's got to be just sort of a stopgap sort of guy. Your thoughts on what's going on in the quarterback situation, and does that need to be where they go in the first round?
I don't know, but it's absolutely insane. I just had a friend text me tonight. He said, Redskins trading for Case Keenum, so they just trade for the guy who got replaced in Minnesota by a talented QB they didn't want to pay in the first place. So it's a carousel. How do you understand it? I don't know. I don't know what the Redskins are going to do. I don't think anybody understands what they're going to do. Throw Antonio Brown in the mix. You know, I just hope they settle down, because the way I see it, and from former players that I've talked to, they're losing fans. And it's just such a storied franchise that they shouldn't ever not fill the stadium, but that's what's been happening the last few years, and people and fans are really disappointed. You know, that's a place where you do the things the right way, and you bring the people back in. It can be a great place to live and play, but right now it's not. So I hope they do the right thing, and if they do go get a quarterback in the first round, you know, it's got to be a guy that they know that can play there for 10 years and be the stalwart that they need.
And Gus, you mentioned Antonio Brown, and you know, you being up in that area, and I'm from Pittsburgh, obviously, and a huge Steelers fan. To me, at this point, they can't get rid of the guy fast enough. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing from the Antonio Brown situation?
Well, I think you're right. I think they made the choice not to do anything with Le'Veon, let him go. You know, if somebody doesn't want to be on your team, then don't let him be on your team. Like, give him, hey, go ahead, go play somewhere else. We don't need a distraction. The Steelers are right there every year trying to make the playoffs. And, you know, hey, we'll go in another direction. But that's the way it is, you know. And you got players with great talent. They don't want to fit into the mold. You can't force them. You can't force a square peg into a round hole. And you know, that's kind of how it's going right now. So cut your losses, move on, and hopefully you can get a lot for them. But we'll see what happens. And, you know, the Steelers are, last few years, they've been going through some transitions where, you know, they're always one of the top teams. They do the things right, but in the last few years, it hasn't happened that way.
And Gus, did you ever have a situation, I'm not asking you to name names, but have you ever been in a situation where you had a diva wide receiver who was, you know, dissatisfied, I'm not getting the ball enough, and causing a distraction? And if so, how did you deal with that?
Oh, yeah, I think every receiver has that mentality, but that's what makes them great. You know, we all want to compete and get ball every time. And I think a lot of those kind of situations are handled in the locker room, handled between the veterans and it stays in the locker room and having those talks. And, And, you know, I think we went through a little bit of that in Minnesota when I was up there in 03, 04. I mean, we had a receiver, Randy Moss, who was greatest of all time. And just, you know, Randy was Randy. You had to know how to deal with him. And you had to make him realize, look, this game isn't about one person. This game is about all 11 of us doing the right things and working together as one. It's the only way we're going to win. And, you know, if you want to go be the guy that thinks he can do it all, yes, Randy was an amazing player. But I think he realized that in the end. And he's an outstanding person. I love hanging out with Randy Moss. And you know, he had some bad times. And it's up to the veterans in the locker room to teach everybody what has to happen. And you know, I've read a lot of quotes with all the stuff with going on with the Steelers. The veterans need to take control. They need to control the locker room and just bring that team together.
Bob, question for Gus?
It's great to speak with you as usual, Gus. And Chris had mentioned earlier during the introduction how you played multiple sports. And I often ask our guests the same question, Gus, about how that's an advantage for somebody like yourself when you get to the pro level. So many kids these days, they think they need to just specialize in one. Their parents, they probably stress one sport and et cetera. Is it a lot different now than it was back then? I guarantee it probably made you a better NFL quarterback for being so athletic.
Oh, yeah, I think it does. It really does. You got to play multiple positions, and it increases. For me, as a quarterback playing baseball and football, it increased my arm strength. But I'll give you my example I like to use is there's a track guy they get to play receiver, right? He's a straight line track guy, fast, right? And that's all he's ever done is run track and straight line, and that's it, right? But that's not the game of football. And you see those guys, yeah, they may have success 1 out of 10 times and catch a long pass and be super fast, but they can't make a move once they catch the ball. They, you know, they don't understand the game the same way. There's just something about playing other sports that it gives you a sense of athleticism, about the surroundings you're in. When you play basketball, you have to, you know, I look at Magic Johnson, how he used to pass the ball. And then you look at what Patrick Mahomes is doing, right? That kid's played every sport. And, you know, he just has an innate feel of where everybody is in that space. And so I think the more sports you can play when you're younger, the better. And then as you get older, you start weaning off some of those. And then I even think as you're a senior in high school, you could still play 3 sports, but sometimes people just play 2 because it's just a lot of work. A lot of work. It's a lot of effort to be great. And you know, I'm not saying that anybody should just play 1 sport their whole life. I don't think that's the way to go. And I think you lose so much from enjoying and playing other sports, whether it's teamwork, whether it's a new coach, or whether it's a new game that you have to learn and understand how to play it. So, so many things that can expand your mind, and playing other sports is definitely one of them.
Gus, we've talked in the past about the player pedigree in Pennsylvania. I told you I used to watch a lot of the New Haven games up here, where all those Division II schools from Pennsylvania would come up, and they were so good and so competitive and et cetera. And it reminds me of a lot of the quarterbacks that came out of PA. And it, the name Joe Namath comes to mind. Is he a guy that you ever got a chance to meet, and or was he a guy, obviously, that was somebody you looked up to when you were a younger guy?
Well, obviously, Joe, being from this area, I mean, I think all quarterbacks looked up to him. Right. He's a great player, you know, and I never really got to meet Joe. I would still love to meet him. You know, even though Joe was from this area, my idol was always Terry Bradshaw. He was a Steeler, that's why I wore number 12. But, you know, Joe Namath was just a guy that everybody wanted to be like. He's a Beaver, Pennsylvania guy, you know, comes from a steel town like most of us did in this area. And you know, just to be able to go out and say, we're going to beat those guys and then go do it. I mean, think about who says that anymore and who can go and do those kind of things. And you know, when you watch the guy play, he gave it everything he had. And, you know, he had bad knees and all the other problems, and he would just go out and win. And you got to respect him for all that. And hopefully someday I get to meet him and really sit down and have a great chat with him.
Gus, it's interesting that you mentioned Terry Bradshaw, because one of the things, you know, when you go back and look at Bradshaw's career, boy, it took him several years to become ultimately the great quarterback that he was in the middle and late 70s. Nowadays, it seems like you only get a season, maybe two. And if you're not where a team needs you to be, you know, head coaches don't have time to develop them because they're worried about their own jobs. And it just seems like that there isn't the organizational loyalty and patience that there was in the 70s to let guys develop and become great. Am I off on that? Is that the same thing that you're seeing now? Is that a situation where, you know, Terry would have never become the great quarterback if he played in the NFL today?
Well, I don't know. I think if you're drafted high, you're going to get a lot more leeway. Or if you're brought in as a high profile free agent, you're going to get a lot more leeway and given ample chances. You know, but for most guys to be able to sit there, have an opportunity to go play and just sit in a practice team and show what you can do, not in real game situations, but, understand the team understands that you have amazing talent and a big arm, but then there's issues. You're probably right where that wouldn't happen today. Who knows what social media would have looked like when Terry Bradshaw was 22 years old. what it would have looked like. So, but maybe he would have got a shot a lot sooner. But, you know, I think if you're a top round pick, you're going to get a lot more chances. If you're a lower round guy and if you're some type of free agent coming in, you get one shot. If you don't make it, then they're moving on. It's a fast paced moving world in the NFL. And, you know, you got to go out and prove yourself every time or you're not going to be in the league very long.
And to that point, Gus, when you look at the Alliance for American Football, right now we got another league that guys can get more game film on. So those lower round draft picks or those guys who just didn't quite make it, you know, their first year or two in the NFL now have an opportunity to go there. Is this a league that you think that the NFL needs to have so that we can continue to develop these young guys and give them an opportunity to play and show what they can do, as opposed to being stuck down at the bottom of a roster?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's stuck at the bottom of the roster. It's not even being in the NFL at all. You know, that you get cut and there's only 1,600 guys playing. There's a lot more people that want to play football than that. Even though the NFL probably has somewhere around 600 people get injured every year and go on IR, and teams need to get new players in. You know, I think the AAF is a great league to showcase some talent and see what guys can do, because the rules are changing with the collective bargaining agreement, that you can't practice as long. You can't go out in the field and throw footballs like I did endless hours to learn how to throw different routes than you threw in college. And so those leagues, I think, are really good for that situation. But I think there are other things that are needed. I'm part of a group right now that we're looking at creating a whole academy for guys that they can continue to train the way they should train, like they're on an NFL team. Because what do NFL teams do if they lose a player, right? They bring 10 in, they look at the best from the worst. These guys have been at home at a local gym, lifting, maybe running at their old high school and trying to stay in shape for the NFL, but they haven't worked on the knowledge that it takes to play the game. They haven't been in a classroom and they haven't competed against other people that are like them. And that's, you know, I'm with a group that we're trying to build that right now so that players that don't get that chance have an opportunity to stay and train just like the pros do. And then the scouts can come to us and get really qualified athletes and players to go play in the NFL.
Gus, switching over to the Vikings. When you look at the Vikings season last year, I mean, Kirk Cousins, by the numbers, had a strong season, 10th in passing yards, 10th in passer rating. Completed 70% of his passes. Adam Thielen, strong year, wide receiver. Defense finished fourth in yards allowed and ninth in average points allowed, yet they finished 8-7-1. What do you think the Vikings are going to need to do over the offseason to take that to the next level and get back in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good call, because even though their numbers are good, they're in a tough division, and when you're up at the top, people are always gunning for you. And that's what makes you realize why the Patriots are so good every year, that, you know, people know that and they still continue to do things they need to do. So I think with bringing Gary Kubiak in as an offensive assistant, still having Kevin Stefanski as the offensive coordinator, they're going to bring some firepower to that offense. Coops is a great guy. He was my quarterback coach with the Broncos when I was there. Understands that West Coast system better than anybody. Has won multiple Super Bowls. And I think he's going to bring some of the firepower and help, what's the head coach's name? Help him, you know, develop this talent and all those skill sets they have out up there into a real winner. Those fans in Minnesota deserve it. They're incredible people. And, you know, I hope they get all that they deserve up there in Minnesota besides about 20 feet of snow every year.
All right. Bob, one more for Gus before we let him go.
Yeah, Gus, Chris had mentioned your success under North Turner in Washington. And I think Turner will go down in history, Gus, as a better coordinator than a head coach. The guy, amazingly, is still going. He coached last year on the offensive side in Carolina, going on almost 30 years. But looking back with your time, your relationship with him, would you consider him an offensive genius? And what kind of offense did he really run?
Well, we were in the digit system. You know, North's offense is good. That's what I grew up in. Mm-hmm. I think he was a very good play caller. I think you're right that maybe the head coach isn't for everybody. I've seen him come and go and say what you want, but I think as far as this goes, his play calling ability, understanding what a defense is going to give you and he had such a good knack of calling the right play at the right moment, at the right time. He's very good at it. And, he kind of runs an old school system where you're going to have a fullback in the game and tight end. And I'm sure that he's had a curtail a little bit of that. I mean, when I was at the Redskins with him, there's a lot of two tight ends, a fullback running power game and big play action throws. And I think he still likes that. And I think if Cam Newton's healthy, you'll see a lot of that next year. Plus with their great running back, Christian McCaffrey, they're going to do some really good things down there. But Norv understands his talent. He understands his offense and what he likes to call. And, you know, I saw him change up a little bit last year, but, he's a digit system guy. Not a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage, but just, hey, let's call it, run it. We got to be the best out there to make this go. And he's usually pretty good every year.
Gus, before we let you go, remind our listeners about the great things you're doing now.
I don't know if we have enough time, but, they can go to Roberto app. We designed and created an app that you can measure and monitor your brain performance because everybody needs to know how their brains are doing. You don't go to your doctor and he asks you how your brain is today. And if he did say that, what would you tell him? I don't know. You know, if he said, what is it 1 to 10? What does that mean? So we give you a tool that you can put right on your phone and really start measuring your brain performance, get a number, know where you are, and then you can check yourself all the time to make sure you're staying within that normal range for yourself. And so go to RobertoApps.com and you can download the app today. The other thing is doing, I'm like you guys now, I'm going to start my own show called Huddle Up with Gus Parrott. I'm going to be doing it.
Nice.
I'm going to be doing it once a week starting April 1st. It's going to be produced by the Tribune Review and produced and edited also by Robert Morris University. So I'm really excited to start that. And my goal in all this is to bring people in and share their stories about how sports shape their lives. So I'm really excited. And my first guest will be President Howard, the current president of Robert Morris University. He played football at Air Force, is on the selection committee in the NCAA. And so I'm really excited to hear his story.
So how can our listeners tune into your show?
Yeah, so it'll be produced at Trib Live. They're taking an old, they used to have Trib Live Radio. Now I think they're going to call it something like Trib Live Podcast. And so ours will be videoed, but it'll also be kind of a podcast. So it'll be somewhere in the middle. It'll be on YouTube. But you can go to at Huddle Up with Gus and see us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we'll be starting from here on out, putting our guests on there, putting our shows, and putting all of our promos. So I'm pretty excited, and I really wanted to give back to the community and give them the stories about how we all transition in life, whether it's sports or business or whatever you want to call it. We have to have transition. I've transitioned so many times that you may leave one job, but there's another job out there for you, and you just got to grind away and go get it.
Gus, it sounds fantastic. We can't thank you enough for your time coming back and joining us tonight. And we certainly look forward to hearing more and more about the great things that you're doing there with your show. So we hope you come back soon and share more of your stories and your insights. And we can't thank you enough for being a part of the Tonight Show as well.
Good luck with that.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you guys having me on 6 times. I can't believe it. I think that's the most I've ever been on one show.
Well, yeah, we're looking forward to number 7 already, and hopefully that's not too far off.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking for the Pirates to have a great season, so.
You think? Open.
Fingers crossed.
We'll talk.
I don't know. I don't know. I hope so. I'm looking forward to
Gus, take care. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Thanks, Bob and Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, Gus.
See you, Gus. That is former Pro Bowl quarterback Gus Frat. Love the fact that he's doing his own show. Huddle Up with Gus. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to check that out, Pop.
Sounds like it's got a great theme, too, Chris, about guys in life, transitioning from sports into life, what lessons they have to learn and all that. And Gus, a very cerebral guy with a lot of experience. That'll be very interesting. We'll keep our eye on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, obviously the next time we have him back on the show, number 7, which hopefully, like I say, isn't too far off. Really, maybe that's where we can start, is talking about his transition from being a player to the things that he's doing now. And what was that like for him? Yeah, so we kind of marry both shows together, maybe. Anyway, looking forward to having Gus back on the show. He's fantastic. All right, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on our Thursday Night Tailgate Spotlight on the positive. Hear which players are out there doing great things in their communities. Then we'll wrap up the show, and we're going to do that on the other side of these words about our friends at the Salt Creek Golf Retreat and DP Quality Foods.